From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
If another houseplant dropped all its leaves for several months each year, you'd think you killed it. But with some of Ken Drews's and my favorite indoor companions, from Boea to Jatropha and more, a regular dormant period is just part of their life cycle. And even if all their leaves are missing in action for a while, these curious plants' sculptural, swollen bases are still there to admire, water and nutrient-filled structures that are also the plant's secret to survival. Today's topic is what are sometimes called fat plants, and Ken's here to talk about these collectible curiosities with me, so more in a moment, but first, these messages.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners on the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, whiteflowerfarm.com.
It's good to welcome my old friend Ken Drews back to the program today to talk about a very collectible subset of houseplants we're both fascinated by, those with swollen bases. Ken is the author of 20 garden books and gardens extensively outdoors and indoors in New Jersey. He's also my co-host of the Virtual Garden Club series of online classes the last several years. So hello, Ken.
Hi, Margaret. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I apologize if by talking about these plants with you the other day on the phone, just innocently before we decided to do this podcast, if I caused any binge searching on the internet or binge shopping.
Shopping, oh no. And don't forget the rabbit hole.
Ken's going down a rabbit hole again. Yeah, so are there any sort of sleeping house plants, sort of sculptural sleeping house plants over there in New Jersey at the moment?
At the moment? Well, there's two ficus, and you know ficus are figs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got one that's ficus palmari, and another one that's ficus petiolaris, and they have swollen bases, which is what we're pretty much talking about. You know, there's some plants that have, well, they have tuberosa in their species name, so that might be ones to think about. And obesa. I love obesa.
Yeah.
But the ficus are they have a few leaves left, and in the summer they have leaves.
Right.
But now they're sleeping, and I guess in their native habitat, they would, when it really gets dry, they would lose their leaves completely. And that really tips you off on how to care for them.
Right.
They don't really want food or water in the winter. Well, hardly any houseplants want food, but
right,
you know what I mean. And these are, it's incredible that they're houseplants, because when I think of these plants, some of them would be really hard to grow because I don't live in South Africa in the desert.
Right, or Mexico or whatever. Right. And so, you know, not all the houseplants, first of all, they're not houseplants. In nature, they're not houseplants. But not all these plants that we use as houseplants that I described in the introduction, these ones that you were just talking about with these swollen bases, they're not all related. And technically, the storage organ that's filled with water and other resources, you know, they evolved that zillions of years ago in their homelands, which are usually desert-like, to get through an annual drought period. And in some of these plants, it's technically called a caudex, and they're called caudiciform plants. And in some, it could just be a bulb. So, you know, but it's a place to store the goods to keep you alive when you can't do photosynthesis and you can't take up, there's going to be no water to take up through your roots and so on and so forth, right? It's a survival tactic.
You know, there's so many plants that we grow that grow up from tubers. And this is like tubers that grow above the ground.
Right. Not technically tubers, but looks like. Yeah. And that's the thing, is the geophytes, as we call, you know, bulbs and corms and tubers and, you know, the things that we hide underground. And, you know, your daffodils, they come up, they make some foliage, they make flowers, eventually they wither and they disappear for most of the year, right? Half the year, at least. And this is sort of that type of thing, but it's above the storage organ is above ground.
And crazy wild. And that's why we want to grow them. They,
Right.
I guess some people might not think they're beautiful. I do, and
Yeah.
they're fascinating. And well, as you said in the beginning, I want them all.
Well, right. And the fun thing is that you can find these sort of plants with swollen bases in many, many different genera of plants and many different groups of plants as well. And you can do it strictly on looks. You know, again, it's not like, oh, I'm a collector of primula. Oh, I'm a collector of, do you know what I mean? Of even of you know,
Begonia.
yeah, it's wider than that, and you can just do it on looks and have fun with it. And some of them in their native habitat, like I have one that's meant to be a tree. It's called the shaving brush tree, Pseudobombax ellipticum. And when I got it, I thought it was Bombax ellipticum, but apparently it's not, but whatever. You know, the name things, right? And you know, I guess it's supposed to be, it's from like southern Mexico and Central America, and it's a deciduous tree. You know, it sheds its leaves in nature seasonally. There's during the dry winter season. And you know, so in my house it does that too. And it's been in a pot for like 30 something years, you know. So it's not a tree and I don't get flowers. I probably could if I were doing something better, but it's been with me forever and it's, I love it. And it, you know, just tells me when it wants to go to sleep in the fall sometime. You know, it sort of starts to, the leaves start to discolor a little and I right away back off on the watering and it sleeps through the winter. So, you know, it's got this big sort of green and brown, gnarly structure at the base that I just love, and all these different branches coming up out of it and off it. So it's fun, but it ain't no tree in my
You're
living
making me think of the
room.
Dioscorea.
Exactly,
We've
exactly.
talked about those. I grew Dioscorea elephantiipes. Can you imagine elephantiipes? And they
Yep.
look like turtles, sort of, for
Right.
most of the year. And then just like that, Bowia, all of a sudden, up shoots this vine. And for half the year, it has a vine with sort of lovely green heart-shaped leaves, and it can climb like, oh, I don't know, 7, 8 feet, and then the leaves start to yellow and I stop watering, and then I've got this fantastic turtle in a pot,
Right, a potted turtle.
and they can get really big. I mean, like, well, in their native habitat they can get like 7 feet across and weigh, I don't know, 100 pounds maybe or something, because they're filled with water, and that's the
Right.
whole thing. They're storing their moisture and nutrients in this sleeping thing. Do you remember when we used to put sweet potatoes in a glass of water
Yes.
halfway up, and then we get a vine and then it would die back? Well, it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah. So you just said Bowia when you were describing that. And Bowia is one that's not a caudex, not a caudiciform plant, technically speaking, doesn't have a swollen stem. It's a bulb that's above ground, or actually a pile of bulbs, you know, multiple bulbs, like a cluster of them. And I think you do you have a Bowia also growing at your house?
I've had Bowia, God, since I was a child.
Yeah, so for decades. And everyone I've ever given gifted one to or whatever, or turned anyone on to, they just, it becomes their pet. You know, it's their little sweet pet. It's this cluster of, they call it climbing onion, I think. It's not an onion, but climbing onion, I think. And I think it's related to hyacinths, actually. And yeah, it's crazy. And you know, it's like from tropical and southern Africa. And you know, it puts up this like twisting vine looking thing. And like at some point there's tiny little green and white flowers, like
They
greenish
look like
white.
spaceships. So, I mean, they're really tiny, like a fingernail size or smaller, and they're sort of like stars. I think they look like spaceships.
And when it wants to go to sleep, it says, Margaret, I'm yellowing. The vines are going to yellow and stop watering me. You know what I mean? And again, mine, and I must just sound like the worst plant parent in the world, because my that shaving brush tree, that Pseudobombax, has been in the same pot for decades. And the Boea, similarly, has been in the same pot for decades. And kind of a sandy, I grow these in like a sandy, they're in a sandy kind of
Yeah,
medium, like a cactus soil
all
almost,
of these want really good drainage, all of them.
And but it doesn't care. It's like self-sufficient or something. It's the weirdest thing. And it was one bulb, one
I was
green
just
bulb.
thinking that because they all start, I got mine as one,
Right, like from
and then at a
Logies or
certain
something,
point,
Logies
right,
Nursery or something. Yeah.
and then at some point it starts to split and very happily, and then you have three. And then you have more, then you maybe give one away. But that's funny the way it's funny the way they split, but they ultimately end up being perfectly spherical.
Right. But you've seen bulbs, like when you've taken bulbs out of the ground, or even when you've sometimes bought bulbs and they have like a little, almost like a baby bulb hanging on to the side of the older bulb, you know, and you say split. You know, it's like that. It's like they grow in like a cluster. Do you know what I mean? They're tightly connected to each other, and yeah, you can kind of break them apart, but yeah, so it's like an above ground bulb, and they're bright green with like a papery, thin papery tan husk kind of over the bulb at certain times. Some people, I think, peel that off.
I
And
peel it up because
yeah.
we like the shiny green. It's very thin, this
Yes.
papery thing.
Yes. But the Boea is a great like gateway plant for these kind of crazy plants. It's super easy. It's available. You get a little one, and then again, you're hooked, you know, and it's so fun. And the vine, it's just, it's got its own personality altogether. It's not just a vine. I don't even know how to say what it is. And I don't really know what the technical parts are. But
It's got like
it's frothy. It's
a wire stem with
Yeah,
the leaf.
within the froth coming off it or something, right? It's like, it's really beautiful. I have, over the pot of mine, I have a tripod of three thin bamboos, you know, tied at the top like a tripod. And so it just twists around those and makes this like tent over the cluster of bulbs. You know, the vine makes like a tent of this green froth in season. But yeah, it's fun.
I don't want to get too technical, but have you ever propagated it?
I haven't, no.
If you can take a little piece of the scale, because it's like an onion, it has layers. You can cut off a little piece of that, I mean really little, and put it on some barely moist medium, and from that little edge, the cut edge, things will grow, and they're like peas, like garden peas, and you have those are new plants.
Right on that piece of scale at the soil
Right,
surface that you
exactly.
stuck it in, you'll get these little like peas, and those are your new bulbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hardly put it in, you sort of put it on. And it's fast. You'd be surprised.
So any of the other ones you mentioned, you were growing some other ones. Any other particular?
Well, I have a few that don't lose their leaves completely, but
Okay, but they have
have
the caudex, they
a
have the big
swollen
swollen.
base,
Okay, okay.
like my Bocarnia, which is a lot of people grow ponytail palm, and they get really big in Florida, but we're not in Florida outdoors. But I have a Bocarnia recurvata, and it might be variegata, and has beautiful variegated leaves and that big swollen base. And I've had that. Oh, when I think how old we are, how
We're
long
not. We're very,
these
actually, I'm
stand.
counting backwards now. Is that the one? It's gold and green variegated, is it? Is it green and white or
Well,
green and
sort of
gold?
creamy
Creamy.
and a
Yeah,
pale
that's what
green.
I sort of remember seeing pictures of it. Yeah.
And a
Yeah.
lot of these plants are really slow in as house plants. I think in their habitat they may not be quite so slow, but when you stick anything in a pot, it sort of it like bonsai, it keeps them kind of small and they're kind of slow, but That's good because I don't have room for an 8 foot tree.
Right. Well, and like the one I mentioned earlier, the Pseudobombax, the shaving brush tree, supposedly in its native habitat, in Central America or whatever, or southern Mexico, apparently it gets to like 60 feet tall.
Oh, right, and it
And,
has
4 feet
giant.
wide at the base,
People
this.
get water out of it, and
Yeah.
when they can't, when it doesn't rain. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, what we're basically doing, I guess, is what I would want to say is, which is a word that we all are familiar with, is like we're sort of bonsaiing them just by keeping them in a pot. We're telling them to stay small. Yeah.
Yeah, we're constricting them,
Exactly. Yeah.
their
Yeah.
roots.
Yeah. Any
But maybe
others
the
that,
all
oh,
the
sorry.
love that we give them maybe makes up for the torture. It sounds like
Oh.
torture.
Someone a year or two ago gave me another one, knowing that I like these kind of plants, gave me a Jatropha. And it's the, they call it the Buddha belly plant.
Perfect.
Yeah. And, I guess it's like some tropical succulent kind of, I guess it would be shrubby in its native habitat, like maybe 6 or 8 feet tall. And I think it's from like Nicaragua and Mexico and so forth. But yeah, it stays, relatively small. I mean, I guess eventually it could get to be a couple feet tall in a container if you allowed it to, but I only have a little one right now. But it's also fun, and it's been asleep for months, and it just told me when, it indicated when it was time.
You're reminding me that maybe the biggest family or genus of these kinds of plants are Pachypodiums.
Right.
And there's so many Pachypodiums, and a lot of them have thorns, but a lot of them are little fat things with little arms and a few leaves and maybe some flowers. But that, I don't know if you know what desert rose is. The adenium, right?
Adenium, right. I was almost going to say it. Adenium, yep.
I can't grow that. I mean, I just don't have enough sun, but that outdoors in the right location, people grow them for their flowers because they bloom
Huh.
their heads off. After they go dormant, they wake up in the spring and just bloom and bloom with lots of flowers in all different colors because they've been hybridized and selected. We don't see them very often, but if you live in the right, if you live in Arizona, you would know what a desert rose is.
Right. Right. Because a lot of these are like at least zone 9, but like probably even zone 10, et cetera,
Yeah,
plants.
nine,
Yeah.
ten, probably.
The Jatropha is supposed to get flowers too. I think red flowers or something. I mean, I have a long way to go. If that's ever going to happen, I don't know, but I have a long way to go. Yeah. But it had almost like the leaves, when it had leaves last summer and so forth, they were like almost fig shaped. They were kind of big, lobed.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was kind of nice. It had nice foliage as well, which was. And you mentioned the Dioscorea. Now that's a yam, technically a yam, right? Because we have native Dioscoreas here, like Dioscorea villosa, that. It's like a little tubery kind of thing that grows under the ground or ground level, and a vine and so forth. So it's,
A hardy tree.
yeah, it's
Well, you're reminding me of something. Many, many years ago, I found a Dioscorea elephantiipes in the trash in Soho,
oh.
and it was probably almost 2 feet across. And I think that probably somebody had it as a decorator plant. It was definitely wild collected. I don't know. It could have been 20 or 30 years old. And they thought, oh, it lost its leaves. It's dead. I'll throw it out. And I rescued it, but unfortunately, it had some rot, and I had it for about 2 years before it finally kicked the bucket. But if you can imagine 2 feet across, incredible. Those Dioscoreas, that's a really good genus of for this what we're talking about, for these swollen baby.
Yeah. Blue
Weird but
bellies.
lovable plants.
And what I also love is that, like what you were just describing, the base, I think they look great in kind of a low pot. Like it doesn't have to be a huge, even though it's was a wide thing that you were just talking about, like it doesn't have to be in a 3-foot-tall pot or something. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't know what you have. You would have something like that in, but
It
yeah.
was a challenge.
So I like I the big I probably I guess I have probably about 9 of the bulbs of the Bowie now in this same pot they've been in forever, and it's a low dish. It's a terracotta dish, and that's one other thing. I wouldn't grow any of these in a plastic pot. I would grow them in unglazed terracotta, I think. Yeah, for the good wicking away of the water. Like, I don't think you want these to the soil to stay moist even during the active growing season. Do
Right,
you agree?
definitely, and maybe protected from getting too much rain where we live,
You mean
because
if they're outside?
yeah, in the summer, right? Because they could rot.
Now, see, that's interesting. So you bring yours outside.
I bring everything outside.
So here's my paranoia, just one of my many examples of paranoia. Because years ago I had a horrible incident where I had a cylindrical Sansevieria, Sansevieria cylindrica, the one with the round foliage that's then pointed at the tips, cylindrical foliage. And I loved that plant and I had it for a long time. It was really beautiful. It was kind of variegated. And we had a hailstorm. And it just got pitted like crazy, really disfigured. And so I've never brought my Bowie or my Pseudobombax, or I don't bring any of these guys outside because I'm afraid of, catastrophe. Yeah, so I don't. They stay in. These are my only plants that stay in. Actually, that's not true. The Clivias stay in too for the same reason, because they have that very sort of thick evergreen foliage, and that also could get very damaged by aberrant weather.
Well, there's very few things that I bring outside that go in full sun all. But as you're saying this, I don't have any south-facing window. I've never had a south-facing window, which would make it so much easier to grow so many things, not the clivia necessarily, but things like we're talking about. Really, when they're in active growth, they really need sun.
They want a lot of light.
And indoors, I don't have the sun. So a lot of the plants really look tired by by March. Actually, in March they look really great, and then they collapse. They all fail. They just can't hold on any longer. And then they go outside mid-May, and they sort of come back. So I really have to do that because I just don't have the south
And
face.
I would like to, but as I said, I'm just spooked. I was spooked by having that plant so badly damaged, and it would take 10 years to outgrow it. You know
Yeah.
what I
Well,
mean? It,
I have a big porch and some
that's good.
covered areas, so they get the nice air. I end up having to still water them because a lot of them are undercover.
But they're
But
safe from hail.
yeah. And I don't have hail like you have hail.
We don't have it. Usually it's like once a year or something, but boy, it's dastardly. So we have maybe, two and a half minutes left or so. I just want to talk about when you're, we won't call it shopping, we'll call it searching. This last week, I know I was looking around and I found some websites besides Logies, which has a number of caudiciform plants, as well as the Bowie with its bulbs. I found like the sort of mother lode, it seems, as a nursery in Florida called Paradise Found, and they even have specimen size plants, very, for quite a hefty price, some of them. They have small ones too. But
Thousands
you
of
could get
dollars.
one that's already, because you were saying they're slow growing, you could get one that's already like a full-time, a full-on sculpture. But at any rate, and then another one called Planet Desert, which has a number as well of caudiciform plants. Did you find any other
I found lots of things, and I found if I don't know if I can remember the name, but there's a Caudex site that this person has, a person whose name is Bihrmann. And I don't even know if it's in the United States, but if you
Okay.
Google caudex or caudiciforms, it's one of the things that'll come up. It's not a nursery. They don't have things for sale, but they
Like
have
a reference.
hundreds of plants.
So why don't you give me the link and I'll put that with the transcript over
That's a
of
good
the
idea.
show over on awaytogarden.com. So that's like a
But
reference site. Okay, good.
I just want to warn people, you may see a fabulous picture of a 30-year-old plant, but what you're going to get for $7 in the mail is going to be a little seedling. And sometimes be careful, you might be getting seeds. But I was surprised, even Amazon has some for sale.
Well, in Etsy and places like that, but I prefer to shop at somewhere like Logies or Paradise Found
Yeah,
or
but
Planet
remember that
Desert.
you're getting a young plant. That's all.
Yeah, and some of them say it'll say this is a 2-inch pot, this is a three, this price, it's a 3-inch pot, this price, it's a 6-inch pot. They may have different sizes, so you just have to be mindful of that.
It
But
would be great if some of these places showed you exactly, a picture of what you're going to get.
yeah. Well, we've squandered another podcast. Thank you, Ken. And I will not accept the bill for your shopping binge when you're done, even though it's my fault. So thank you. Fun to talk about fat plants with you. And I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Margaret.
All right. And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you again soon, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as at awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners on the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, HighMowingSeeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, WhiteFlowerFarm.com.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.